vessels ruined sin had brought us. Oh, innocence was found on earth, and therefore death had brought us into bondage from of old, and ever grew more strong and bold, and held us as its captive. Destroying sin, he took the crown from death's pale brow forever. Stripped of power, no more it reigns. An empty form alone remains. Its sting is lost forever. Hallelujah.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia! He is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia! Alleluia! He is risen!
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Dear brothers and sisters in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, it is easy to forget about the indescribable riches of your life that is in Christ Jesus. We can get short-sighted and forget about what belongs to every single Christian now that Christ has conquered death and joined each and every one of us to his conquering resurrection. We just forget. We forget too often about what is ours and what is to come because we are united to Christ. Even if you are a senior well into your 80s or your 90s, through the amazing grace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the best is still yet to come. But again, in our short-sightedness, we forget about who we really are in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this day, this Easter, this feast of the resurrection, is for the Holy Spirit to cause us to remember by his word that we would live in this faith, in this new life in Christ, and go forward every day living in our baptism and remembering who we are. Tracy and I love to watch movies together. We especially enjoy love stories. That explains why your pastor is so romantic, right? One of our favorite movies is called Love Affair. Released in 1994, it was a remake of the original movie released in 1932. The newer version Tracy and I are more familiar with stars Warren Beatty and Annette Bening. In that movie, Beatty's character's loving aunt, played by Katharine Hepburn, is trying to explain to Benning's character that her nephew believes himself to be a duck, where in actuality, he is really a swan. It's not simply a matter of Beatty's character not realizing his potential, but he doesn't even realize who he truly is. Through the combined forces of his aunt's love and his newfound love, Beatty's character breaks away from his habitual indiscretions and through his discovery of true love, finds himself. And you know the rest of the happily ever after of such movies. There's a tension that I think arises in each of us when we think of such presentations. There's a part of us that really believes in them, the undying romantic in us. And then there's another part of them that labels them, part of us that labels them as fantasies. That's where our pessimist dwells. But there are, in the most endearing stories of God's creation called humanity, certain correspondences to what is real. Sometimes the real you comes out later in time. In real life, I know a story of a little girl who was, for all intents and purposes, anti-school as she was growing up. When she was little, she would fight tooth and nail against going to school. That's the way she was. There were times when Tracy and I would literally have to drag her down the stairs. See all the white hairs coming in? When she was a little older, she didn't seem to mind being tardy. And when she was a little older than that, didn't seem to mind not performing to the best of her ability. This little girl, however, changed. And changed is a fantastic understatement. It is as if she became a different person. And I don't think I know anyone as driven as she is. She's now doing a doctorate and earning the highest marks in her program. Something happened to her. Something clicked. And what we see today is not something we saw before. In Colossians chapter 3, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is communicating to all Christians, like you and me, that there is a real change that has occurred in those who are connected to the one whose resurrection we celebrate this day. Once, and apart from the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, we were all like those living problematically in Colossae. They approached faith in terms of a stale religion based on the disciplines of men. They didn't get faith. And they assumed that faith meant living religiously in following a bunch of rules. That is not faith. That is a dead religion. And even in the face of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many folks mistakenly perceive the Christian faith as following the teachings and the examples of Jesus Christ. But if this is why Christ came, then what is the point of the resurrection? If Jesus simply came to tell us how to live religiously, don't do this, do that, then he didn't need to come to conquer death. But if this is the way we consider Christ, then we'll never see the change. We'll never know the transformation that God intends for us. We will all remain a bunch of ducks or stubborn little children who do not want to go to school. St. Paul warns us, though, the living faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ isn't about, as he warns in Colossians 2, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. These have indeed an appearance of religion in promoting self-made religion. And we have all seen this sort of thing. when people insist that Christ, even the resurrected Christ, came to teach us a new strategy for living. Even when it looks shiny and clean and impressive to all of our friends, he came to give us a new blueprint for life. Do this, do that, and the other thing, and you'll be a real Christian. So St. Paul gets us back to where real life occurs, and where the real change that Jesus came to give is experienced. That is, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is not something for us to review as a remarkable event in history that's fun to laud as a great story on Easter. It won't do to treat the resurrection of our Lord as anything but life-changing for us. In fact, to live in the resurrected Christ transforms our entire lives and brings a change that one could never detect in the old state in a million years. The real life of the resurrected Lord Jesus will not permit us to remain stuck in a life as a duck or as a little one who, in our case, only reluctantly goes to church. So what is it? What is this new life? This transformed life based on the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate this day. It is point blank the life of Jesus himself. Now, don't let this become some esoteric assertion. I'm not answering a deep question with a deeper answer that's going to take you a lifetime to figure out. The answer, in fact, is incredibly simple. It's only people who make it complicated. The life of Christ defeated death. One theologian put it this way: the security of the Christian is not that fancied by the Stoics. The Christian is secure, absolutely, essentially secure, because his life is hid with the risen Christ in God, with the one who was not overcome by the world, but overcame it. Assailable and assailed though it is, it's not exposed to any threatened overthrow or destruction, nor to any serious disturbance. Its continuation is assured, even though there breaks upon it the storm of every worldly force. I know that sounds pretty sophisticated, but it's a longer way of saying what St. Paul says elsewhere. If God is for us, who can be against us? No matter what we face. If Jesus Christ is your God, who defeated the absolute worst that could ever happen to you, namely death, and he did, and he has put you into his resurrected life that won the victory over death, and he did, then what in the universe can truly threaten you? Not even death. Not even death. Needless to say, we should be very interested, therefore, in how to live in this real life. This is what our Easter epistle in Colossians 3 is about. First of all, when you read, "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Of course you've been raised with Christ. Your assurance is not anything iffy or maybe. It's absolute. You've been baptized into Christ.
Now Christ is your life.
Through a real event in real time, in a real place, through a real pastor putting real water upon your real forehead, in the real name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you were joined to the real resurrected Lord Jesus. His resurrection life now belongs to you. You are now, Christians, in an in-between state. You have received the spiritual benefits right now in this life, and you will experience the physical benefits when he comes again in glory. This is the significance of verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In the meantime, we have to learn to recognize that this indestructible life, with all hope and all blessing, through any struggle or hardship, is something that we do not see with our physical eyes, but through faith. Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. First, be clear that to set your mind on things above is very specific. Set your mind on Christ. Some people get all weird with this passage. So they start talking about heavenly things to the extent that before you know it, they become otherworldly and detached from living here on earth. That's wrong. God loves his creation. He wants you to be here for a reason. And the Bible says everything created by God is good. But as you live here, serving your family, doing your work, encouraging others, sharing your faith, living in love, do these in such a way that you live in Christ, knowing that in him who conquered death, everything you do has eternal weight and glory. Oh, I know. So often we feel as though we're wasting our time. We're constantly tempted to cry out, "What's the use?" But don't give in, Christian. Because the greater reality of your life is Christ, who has conquered everything that could possibly mess up your real life. Your real life is secure. And in faith, all that you do in him is beautiful, meaningful, and important. So keep your heart, your mind, and your soul, all of you, on Christ who is risen. But as you do, just remember that your real life now is hidden. And this is where our struggle typically occurs. Luther describes the contrast between the high dignity of Christians and the lowly form of their life on earth with these words. We are even now the children of God, and through faith and baptism have been put into possession of eternal salvation. But who among men recognizes the children of God? Who will call those men children of God who are thrown into prison and are so tortured and tormented in every conceivable way that they appear to be the children of the devil, condemned, accursed souls? For that reason, St. Paul says that the glory of the children of God is now hidden, but it shall be made manifest in them later. So long as God's children are here upon earth, they are clothed not with the clothing of God, but they wear the devil's clothing. The right order is reversed. Those who are God's children are called children of the devil, and those who are children of the devil are called children of God. You know, Luther He was quite vivid and powerful in his writing. But he was just saying that sometimes, even though we have the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, it doesn't always seem that way. There are times when it feels like we wear the clothes of a weak one, a defeated one, a suffering one, not a victorious one, but again, a defeated one. Sometimes, as Luther said, the right order is reversed. But whenever you feel this way, simply go back to this one habit of faith. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. Return to Christ, who went through his humility and passion, his hiddenness, his crucifixion, to save you. But then remember the rest of the story. He rose in imitation of Jesus. You are now a little Christ. You too go through the versions of weakness, of humiliation, of struggle and suffering. But remember your life, dear Christian, your real life. Jesus, who has conquered even death, has shared his resurrection life with you. St. Augustine. But what did he go on to say? When Christ appears our life, then you also will appear with him in glory. So now is the time for groaning. Then it will be for rejoicing. Now for desiring. Then for embracing. What we desire now is not present. But let us not falter in our desire. Let long, continuous desire be our daily exercise, because the one who made the promise doesn't cheat us. In fact, the one who has made the promise is also now with us. His very body and blood will be given to you. And already his victory over death is yours, dear Christian. So I say it again. Hallelujah! He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.